The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I was speaking to her and basically felt so far from God, and she saw something in the room over me and was like, stop.
A light came on over his head, and there were no lights in the room. There wasn't a window.
Coming up on Life Today, Anthony Evans shares his experience in therapy with Stacy Kaiser.
God has spoken through Stacy in just as much or more, powerful ways than me sitting here or sitting in my dad's office or sitting with Priscilla.
Well, this is just quite a shock to me to know that I'm going to be talking to Tony Evans' son, Anthony Evans, who's quite the singer and communicator and just an amazing person. He's been here so many times, but I didn't know he needed therapy. Now, you know, Sheila Walsh tells people that she had to have therapy. And a lot of you are probably thinking, you just know you need therapy, boy. You talk about me. Every counselor we have on here, they always counsel with me. They do. Everyone, they focus on me like you're not even here. And they say, we need to talk to you. So maybe...
I promise I didn't say anything to them.
Well, but here is Anthony Evans. And he's written a book, When Faith Meets Therapy. And he found a therapist. And Dallas Theological people don't normally go get a woman therapist. I got to know, Anthony, you ended up with a woman therapist. Okay, I need you to tell me.
We are so
just keep your seatbelt. Dr. Evans and family, keep your seatbelt buckled.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, you had some needs. Just tell us what in the world was going on for you to think I need therapy.
Well, I was in a place, just to be honest, where I'm doing this, what y'all know me for and what a lot of people know me for, but I, on the inside, was falling apart. I liken it to having a sprained ankle and trying to walk without a limp. That's what I felt like I was doing because I have this ministry and this family, and it was injuring me worse to try to walk without a limp. And I had tried to go see Christian therapists. You know, my family's all Bible teachers. I had that down. And I tried to go see a therapist out of a church here. And at the end of our first session, they ask about meeting up with my dad and connecting their ministries. And I was like, I can't, that's not going to work for me. That messed me up. So I kind of had given up on therapy.
People using you to get to dad.
Yeah.
My kids told me they spent their whole life with that.
Yeah, which that was a damaging moment. And I never said anything. I just kind of inside shut down. So I went years without doing therapy, but I was like, this is not going to work. I got to figure this out. And it just so happened that I was watching regular TV because this lady next to me is on a bunch of stuff all the time. And I saw her and I was like, okay, there's a therapist. I love the way she handled that scenario. Let me look at these credits as they roll by and see who that was. That's how desperate I was. Yeah. Found out Stacy Kaiser, saw her name, looked her up, emailed her staff. They made sure I wasn't nuts because who like looks at the credits at the end of a show and tries to reach out? And she thankfully figured out I wasn't nuts and decided I will see this guy. And we met in Los Angeles, California, far away from the Bible Belt. She didn't know who my family was when I walked in, which immediately was the most refreshing thing. And that was 6 years ago. And Stacy has given me tools that I didn't want to keep to myself. That's the bottom. That's why this book exists and why I've told the world who my therapist is, which, you know, when you're a licensed psychotherapist, you can't do that. Like, we're supposed to act like we don't know each other in public. But I was like, hey.
I mean, total confidentiality, right? I can't even say who I speak to every day.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, now you can. Do you want to write a book? Because these tools have helped me so much come out of that place and heal.
You wrote it together.
Yeah, we wrote it together. This is a conversation with practical.
Why would you do that? Why would you go with a preacher's family and son and join with them after you did therapy, shared with him? Why would you write a book with him? I'm curious.
So, first of all, Anthony has been a blessing in my life also because one of the things that anyone who's a teacher wants is a good student who's growth oriented and all of that. And he's been all of that. But when he came to me and he said, I want to break confidentiality because there is such a stigma about therapy and it's made such a difference for me that I want to work on breaking the stigma. And part of what you all have to know is when he came to me, we were in the middle of the pandemic. And what I was discovering is people were, you know, more stressed out than ever. It was really affecting everyone's mental health. It didn't matter if you were comfortable staying home and wearing a mask or not, or what was going on, we were all impacted. And so it just felt like the timing was really good too, that there's such a need and so many people dealing with mental health issues. Side note, which he didn't mention, sometimes you need to go to therapy to deal with the people who don't go to therapy. And so not everybody is dealing with, personal issues, but all of us know people who are in our lives that we struggle to deal with. And so that's what a lot of this book is about. There are lots of chapters on individual issues, like forgiveness and finding your inner power and dealing with grief and loss. But we have three chapters in the book exclusively on relationships, because lots of times relationships send people to me. They also send people to him.
In any situation, from marriage to business, to church,
to family,
brother, sister, the whole
to a relationship with yourself. My issue was, you didn't ask, but we started talking about therapy and issues. I'm like, here we go. I did not have a great relationship with myself when I came to Stacey. That was 6 years ago. I came to her about the book during the pandemic, but 6 years I've been talking to Stacey, and I didn't realize that I had major value issues and I didn't have a good relationship with me.
Were you finding yourself comparing yourself to other family members?
Oh.
To your dad's position and Priscilla's success or whatever?
I think I compare myself to what's expected of me, not what they're doing, but what the pressure that my last name puts on me. My mom used to make sure that that was not happening. My dad would joke and be like, you're gonna go to seminary? And she'd be like, Tony, stop. Like, he'd be playing. But she was very careful, but that doesn't matter. When you're 12 years old and standing in a stadium at Promise Keepers and watching your dad, the crowd is going, 60,000 dudes are going.
Sure.
Nobody has to say anything. The roar of the crowd says, are you going to measure up?
Sure. Yeah.
And that is a narrative that was in my head, even though I've been singing and doing all this stuff. And I think it's very important for people not to just see the polished side of whoever. That's like what social media creates in people is I'm not enough, because you're not seeing reality a lot of times. I wanted this reality to be seen and shown for people who are like me, who are wishing they had somebody who said, you know what, I'm broken too, let's figure this out.
Can I have your permission to add something?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, what are you adding, though?
You'll be okay with it. I just want to say it out loud, because I always say Anthony tells his story. But I think that this doesn't just apply to you. I think it probably applies to you all and everybody else, and me as well. Those of us who are the givers and the healers and the ones who are serving others oftentimes lose sight of ourselves. And so I do think that that's part of it.
Yeah. Because
we see life through the lens of what can I do for you, and sometimes we lose what can I do for me or what do I need.
Yeah. Do you think, I feel like a lot of people do deal with exactly what he said, what's expected of
you.
Yes. I grew up that way, being in, quote, the Baptist church.
Yeah.
You know,
dot
all the I's, you know, cross all the, do everything right.
Exactly.
And maybe God won't get you.
Yeah.
That's the way
exactly.
I felt, you know, and just do what is expected of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it damaged me to a point. I had to deal with that when I got older.
Exactly.
And it's such a freedom that comes from knowing that you don't have to live under those expectations.
Exactly.
You just live walking where God has you.
Nobody expects you to be perfect.
No. And that's the key too.
What did you see in him when he came? Did you see desperation? Did you see helplessness? Were you puzzled that he came? What made this work? I mean, you came desperate for help. Was it obvious he really wanted help and needed it when he came to you?
I mean, that's what he said. But, I mean, he seems really together.
Yeah.
Right? So what I really saw was a person who was open to being the best person that he could be. And I think you're still like that. You're ever evolving and changing and trying to do better and be better. And that's what I saw.
Did he help you? You helped him. Did she help you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
did he end up helping you before it was over? Did he help you in some way?
Well, when you're working with somebody who is so willing to grow, it helps you see what you're doing that works. And so I was like, okay, if it works on Anthony,
It'll work on somebody else.
It'll work on people. Okay. But he's also done a pretty incredible job of filling my dance card. I'm very busy now.
Yeah. Yeah, I keep telling people.
Everybody's like trying to get an appointment, and I don't have any left because a lot of the people I know came because of him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you talk about she gave you some tools, some lasting yes. tools. Could you talk about some of those tools that she gave you, with relationships or?
There's been times where I'm dealing with work relationships or personal relationships, and I cannot let go. Stacy will literally tell me, write down, and as simple as this sounds, it's not for me. She would be like, write down the good things that you're getting out of this relationship and the bad things, right? And sometimes the list is like 40 on the bad side and 10 on the good side, and I wasn't even thinking about that. And when you feel drawn back because you're such an emotional person, and I get that, like that's a big part of me, and it's not like, don't try to change that, but you get drawn in by your emotions. Look back down at that piece of paper when you want to go back and look at the bad side. And if you need to see it on paper to not go back, look at it on paper and don't go back. Mm. And I understand all that's so small, but it's not when you stop and look and go, I'm not going to pick up the phone because that's where it's going to lead. Like the probability of it going bad is really high. So I'm not going to go back. Mm. Like that's so small with her sitting right here. She gives me so many tools in so many different ways, but that's one that's
she helps you make better choices.
Yes.
Like of who you do relate to.
Yes.
Who you do go back to,
yeah.
who you avoid.
We liken it to a theater. She likened it to a theater. She said, Anthony, if you were, at that point, I was doing something for Disney on the stage. So she said, Anthony, if you were on Broadway and there was somebody on the front row of in the audience disturbing you, like pulling you out of character on Broadway, what would happen to that person sitting on the front row? I was like, well, they'd be told to be quiet. What if they weren't quiet? What would happen? They'd probably move them back a little bit. And what would happen if they moved them back and they still weren't quiet? They'd get put out. She was like, exactly. You have people on the front row of your life who are pulling you out of character. Mm-hmm. Ask them to be quiet. If they're not, move them back. If not, put them out of the room. Mm-hmm. And what will happen, I was afraid to move people because I thought, who else is gonna sit there? And what I've realized is that as soon as that seat was empty, somebody came and filled it that wanted nothing more than to see me in character, in the character God's called me to be. And that's what's happened. She's helped me rearrange, relationally rearrange people in the room so that I can stay in character. And I feel like that's one of the many things that she's helped me do because I'm Tony Evans' kid. Like I shouldn't, sometimes I thought I shouldn't need all this. Like it's like, I told my dad, it's almost like having Thomas Edison or Einstein as a dad, but your kid has a learning disability, but I'm in your class. So I need help. Like that's where the pressure comes from, is having that man as a father and feeling like I have a learning disability as it relates to the truth of God's word, implementing it into my life. But there's no shame in needing tutoring. There's no shame in getting tutoring to pass. And that's what this has done. It's given me tutoring as it relates to this book of truths we have, these formulas that we have. We know work, but sometimes it's not that simple. And you need tutoring.
Tony, let me just say to you and all the Evans family, thank you for being so truly great, like God, in trusting your son with his decisions and his journey, and trusting God with him and the journey. And Stacy, thank you. Let me just ask you, do you feel like that the trust factor is critical, that people have someone they can go to, that they can trust with who they are, and most people don't have that? Well, do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Most people don't have it.
They already feel shame over their weakness or their brokenness or their failure.
Yes.
And then people put shame on them, especially church people.
Exactly.
They tend to put shame on them.
Exactly.
That is the last thing they need, right?
Absolutely. And what, you know, first of all, it's a rare occasion that you get a confidential relationship where you know that they're not going to share anything, which is, you know, one of the things you get with a therapist. But the other thing, if I'm doing my job right, is I'm not creating any judgment and I'm not running an agenda. So I'm not walking around thinking this is what Anthony should or should not do. I'm getting to know Anthony and saying what is best for him. And what is best for him in the context of his family, his church, his community, his friendships, all of that. And oftentimes when you go to someone else for guidance, they have their own opinions and agendas and they push for that. And so I feel like that makes this a safer relationship yeah. also.
And when somebody has their own opinions, it can create shame. If you're not doing what they think, it
yes.
creates shame. And as Stacy said to me a long time ago, shame sabotages grace.
Yes.
She said that, and I was like, there you go.
Are you a Christian therapist?
I don't call myself a Christian therapist. I am, what do you call me? A secular? No,
I said secular. No, no, no. What do you call? I call her a general market.
A general market therapist.
Psychotherapist.
But I do have a lot of believers in my practice. I hold space for all of that. And I think that anyone who is a believer does need to be in a relationship with a therapist who doesn't necessarily go to church the same amount of times that they do or anything like that, but understands the importance of their faith. And if we have a, if you should tell the story. We had a really incredible divine moment together that had never happened to me before in 20 years of being a therapist.
Tell us real quick.
Well, I'll tell you real quick. Well, first, I just want to say, as it relates to the Christian therapist thing, she wants to leave it open. First of all, she's in Hollywood. So once you say Christian therapist, it alleviates 90% of the people who would come to you because they're like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? So
last person I want to be around to be a Christian.
Yeah,
That's what they think. Because they really don't know what Christians really are because we really haven't shown them a very good picture.
Right. So anyway, there have just been moments where the psychotherapy is happening and the textbook kind of things are happening. But then Stacy will stop and go, there was a moment where I was speaking to her and basically felt so far from God. And she saw something in the room over me and was like, stop.
A light came on over his head and there were no lights in the room. There wasn't a window. And I literally stopped talking and I had goosebumps all over. And I said there. He's here. I feel like I'm supposed to be speaking to you right now.
Not from psychotherapy and all that. So she said, stop. He is here and you are more covered than you think.
Wow.
And hearing that from a general market psychotherapist is way different than hearing it from the guy at church who I would already have a thing with because of all the things that come along with it. So God has spoken through Stacy in just as much or more... in just as much a more powerful ways than me sitting here or sitting in my dad's office or sitting with Priscilla, because it's just the most unexpected time. He would stop the psychotherapy to say, I am with you in this hurt.
And he is on you, Anthony.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He's all over you. And nobody can say that better than the person you'd least likely thought you would hear it from, and she saw it. And everybody can see him
in
you. And she did.
That's beautiful.
That love, it's in you. Somehow that love moved in the room and that love has spilled over. It's going to be on her more and more and more. I don't know anything about her background. I need to know. You guys shared. I just looked at all the subject matter. You shared what she's seen people need and she's seen people get help. You all wrote it together because you've seen the effect of it. Mm-hmm. You wrote it wanting to help people who feel like nobody would understand me, mm-hmm. right? You all can't talk to everybody, but you wrote something that everybody could access. And do you believe they could hear something of wisdom and of meaningful counsel from the wisdom that comes from the wisest one, from God, and from two people who care? Because I think you wrote it because you care.
Definitely.
And you believe she cares, and you believe you got help, and you want others to have. Am I right about that?
That's the bottom line.
Okay,
yes.
So what we're going to do, look here. If you'll just put some Christmas shoes on children, and we're going to send you a little Christmas ornament. But we're going to also give cleft palate surgery. We're going to do some serious surgery. Give a child a smile. Make a little baby where the baby can nurse, because the cleft palate, they can't nurse. So you start with malnutrition right up front. You can be a miracle in somebody's life. And I want you to watch this in a moment, but we'll also send you this book. There's no way we can cover all the bases. You tried your best to do it. Thank you for helping him. Evans family, thank you for sharing your brother with the world. Thank you for your courage to go and for you all to come together and be a team for the kingdom purpose of God to love people the way he loves them so they can see how much he loves them. And they can see the truth sets them free. I want you to watch this. And then I want you to be somebody's miracle. And you can be. And boy, when you become a miracle, you begin to experience miracles. I promise you, you do. Watch.
Every year in developing countries around the world, more than 170,000 children are born with a cleft lip or cleft palate. Without surgical repair, a cleft lip or palate could be deadly for a child.
As a child grows with the cleft palate, they will not be able to breastfeed. And that can cause real problems for nutrition. And it can also cause them to have more commonly have chest infections. And that can even lead to death.
Beyond just the physical dangers, a cleft lip or palate can cause lasting emotional and psychological damage to a child.
Then as they start to talk, they will not be able to be understood. The cleft palate makes their speech very, very difficult to understand. And so combining the appearance and also the speech will have a huge impact on how that child feels about themselves as they grow up.
Fortunately, a cleft lip or cleft palate can be repaired fairly easily with corrective surgery. But a child living in poverty has very little hope and even fewer options for this type of surgery. That's why Life Outreach and its partners have already provided more than 2,000 life-changing surgeries at no cost to the families. And this year, we will continue to do as many surgical cleft repairs as possible around the world.
Thanks to partners like Life Outreach International, we're able to make lasting changes in children's lives through corrective surgery. Just to give an example from the clinic this week, I saw several children that we've operated on their lips and their palates, very young, and the children are healthy, they look normal, and I know that they will now be able to speak normally as well. But there's so much more work to be done, literally thousands of families waiting for help, but we can only do it with your continuing support. God bless you.
I love all those little children. We have 25 grandchildren, about to have 26. Our little great-grandchildren are 8 and down to, you know, several months and several less than a year. And none of them have that, but I would fix it. You would. You would say to Betty and to James, we'll fix your grandbaby. Well, let's fix their baby, please. Please. Let's see a miracle. $1,000 will give 2 cleft palate surgeries because the doctors give their time, their skill, but their costs that go with it. Would you please go get your bank card and use it like a check? Would you go online? You may want to give more money for these miracles than we could ever even imagine. You may say, we want to leave a medical doctor over there doing it all the time. Wherever it is, all over. We want to just send them. I don't know what visions can spring up in you, but just do what God tells you to do. And if you'd help give shoes, $36 will give 10 children a pair of shoes. We've committed to give 150,000 children shoes, and we do it ahead of time because it's Shoes and Smiles for Christmas, and this is our last week. So, Betty, we just need everybody to help.
We do, and thank you so much for all that you do to help us continue with the beautiful things that God's put in this ministry to be able to help change the lives of precious children and a lot of, so many, many of them. But I look at these children and I think there's such a need there. These precious little ones don't even know or have the experience of being able to smile. And their mothers just love them anyway. Mothers don't care. I mean, they care in that they would love to see their corrected smiles. But they love them just as much anyway. But just think what the heart of that mother feels like when that baby comes out of surgery and they can smile. Can you imagine what a difference that makes? Thank you for joining with us. Let's put smiles on these babies.
Well, you know, I was so shy I couldn't talk. Oh, and boy, God gave me a gift. You know what I heard right here just from the Lord while I was praying? There'll be some of those children that can't talk well, and they're going to be able to preach. They're going to be able to sing. They're going to be able to be a witness. You gave them that. God gave me a gift. You can give them a gift. Not just a smile, but communicate. Father, I just pray we'll have the greatest outpouring of love today. Say, you know what, boy, we're going to give far more than shoes and smiles. We're going to give people an opportunity to be a witness, to be a light, because we're light, and we're full of love, and we're going to let it flow in Jesus' name. Would you right now call that number that people call to be prayed for every day? By the thousands. Would you call in and say, I'm going to give smiles. I'm going to give shoes. and use your bank card. And during this last week, this is the last week now, for us to get all the resources to get the shoes and smiles for Christmas. Would you right now make the gift? Or you can go online. If you put it in the mail, make it to life. But call us and tell us you're mailing it. We've got to know what's coming. We got gifts to bless you, and we'll be glad to send you. This book might prove to be therapy for you and somebody you love very much. Might build a relationship, a miracle. Thank you so much for responding.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 pairs of Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted red crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring four of life's crystal Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, I just want to thank you. Look, if you tried to get through to call to make a gift, boy, you call till you get through. And let's give some smiles. And let's give some shoes. And we'll get this. Some of you might say, I hope that therapist helps you as soon as we go off air. Maybe she'll help you. Yeah, I bet she will. If I need help, she'll get it. Hey, we sure love you. And we love Anthony. And Stacy, we're glad to meet you.
Yeah.
And we hope that we be a blessing to you, and you bless a lot of people. And Anthony, you bless a lot of people. Thank all of you for being such a blessing to so many. We love you. Thank you. This is last week. Shoes and smiles. Thank you.
Dr. Robert Jeffress invites you to spend 18 minutes with Jesus for life-changing teaching on happiness, faith, relationships, money, and more tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.